everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on this Friday, December 19th, 2025, along with my buddy, young Brendan Kraft. Brendan, engineering and producing the show. Brendan, I'm sure you've got some terrific, what we call in the business, bump music lined up for the show today.
Every time.
Every time. I know. I can always rely on Brendan to come up with some very engaging music behind the glass. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, broadcasting from central Tucson. This is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for live news and talk. We wrap up officially 15 years of the daily, keyword daily, live radio show. December 30th, then we will transition that next Friday, which is two Fridays from now, 2 weeks from today, we will go to a Friday-only show. We'll continue to have our newsmaker interview, sometimes actually two newsmaker interviews in the hour, and we'll continue to have a media co-host. Today, it's the award-winning columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, Tim Stiller. Hey, Tim.
Hey. How are you, Bill?
Good. You like that idea of sticking with the Fridays?
Yeah, it makes sense. It's a way to keep your toe in the pool.
Keep me out there. That's it. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, and a lot of media people in this town support what we do. Certainly the Arizona Daily Star, Arizona Agenda, Joe Ferguson. So got a bunch of friends in the media who I think add a lot to our Friday program, and that will be the way we will be doing it going forward 2 weeks from today. Let's welcome now on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hey, Bill and Tim, good. How are you guys doing?
Doing real well. You getting ready for Christmas?
Yes, I am ready. I am ready. How about you?
Yes, sort of. You know, it's a big transition here, opening a new chapter in a long career of like maybe nearly, I don't even want to say it, 60 years of daily deadlines. So we'll kick back to Friday only with the show 2 weeks from today. But then I'm going to be venturing into the world of doing some podcasts with some clients. So it's a new chapter, and things are moving forward. And with you, my goodness, 33 lawsuits against the Trump administration this year. Did I miss anything since I looked that up?
I think it's basically 33, Bill. I think you got the number right. Yeah, we had a couple more in the last about 7 days. And yeah, I mean, you know, I never imagined, a year or two ago that I would would have had to sue the president 33 times, but you know, when he violates the Constitution and the law 33 times, that's what the AGs have to do, or at least the ones who still believe in the rule of law and the American Constitution.
What have been some of the marquee suits that that you've gotten so far pretty favorable outcomes on, Chris Mays?
Oh, boy. Well, when you take those 33 lawsuits and you add up what we have saved in the form of funding for the Arizonans, it adds up to about $1.5 billion. And so, the big ones would be, things like we have saved Meals on Wheels, Head Start funding, AmeriCorps. Just this last week, we secured emergency funding for FEMA funding for rural Arizona that the feds were trying to prevent unlawfully from coming to our state. So the next time we have a wildfire or a flood, that is going to be obviously important. And then we've saved an enormous amount of funding for our universities, the U of A, ASU, NAU, hundreds of millions of dollars in research funding for the universities, including Alzheimer's funding, cancer research funding, all of which the Trump administration was trying to unlawfully prevent from coming to our state, even though Congress had already decided to send it to our state. And that's just a violation of the separation of powers. And then, of course, Bill, if I would be remiss if I didn't mention that we are waiting for a decision by the United States Supreme Court on the tariffs lawsuit that I filed. I'm co-leading that with the AG of Oregon, Dan Rayfield. I was back east, back in D.C. for the oral arguments on that. And we feel pretty good, knock on wood, that we may very well win that thing based on how even some of the more conservative justices were asking questions.
All right, let's bring in Tim Steller of the Star.
So, hello, Chris. It sounds like there's kind of two categories, and maybe you could tell me if there's more. There's these lawsuits where you're asking, kind of trying to compel them to pay the money that that Congress has allocated, and then there's these other ones where you're trying to fight back against what you consider unconstitutional actions, like maybe say birthright citizenship, that executive order. Are there other kinds as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good. Those are good buckets to put the cases into. I would say there's maybe a third bucket, which is we have filed a number of lawsuits to protect the data of Arizonans and Americans from unlawful seizure and use by the federal government. So if you guys recall back during the Doge days, they were trying to hoover up data inside the IRS. They were trying to hoover up data, you know, in the Treasury Department, inside Social Security. And most recently, they tried to hoover up the data related to folks who get SNAP benefits. And so we have fought back against that. They tried to eliminate the entire SNAP program, which was horrible right before Thanksgiving. They have threatened Arizona and other states to withdraw our SNAP funding if we don't comply with their data requests. Associated with SNAP. Obviously, we will fight back against that if we have to. So I put sort of like a third category, which is data. And so those would be, the three major categories. And then, of course, birthright citizenship is kind of in its own category because it's just so sweeping and so fundamental to who we are as a country. And it's also like explicitly stated in the Constitution. So no president, whoever they are, regardless of political party, Republican or Democratic or independent, can unilaterally strike out with the stroke of a pen a provision in the Constitution, which is literally what Donald Trump tried to do by eliminating through executive order birthright citizenship. That case is headed for a decision by the Supreme Court as well.
So on the data cases, is there a bit of a trying to put the genie back in the bottle aspect of this, in the sense that they, you know, share data among the federal agencies, and then you all try to get them to stop, and then but you know they've already done it. Is that the case, or am I misunderstanding how this works?
I mean, it's an interesting point, Tim. It's an interesting question about, you know, what has happened to the data once. I'm not sure that we're entirely sure what they've done with the data. We did get injunctions against them in a couple of those cases against further accessing data. But, you know, I guess, you know, I would have to admit to you that I worry about what they have done with that data, what Doge, when it was still really a thing, when Elon Musk was still very active and around. Doge has been a little bit disbanded. There are elements of Doge still in working inside some of these agencies. But, you know, I think there's some concern that, you know, databases like the one owned by Palantir, it could be being used to compile that data. Once if that is the case, then once Palantir has it, what are they doing with it? So when this administration is over with, and, you know, that will be in the year 2028, year of our Lord 2028, we are going to have to, we have a lot of work on our hands to figure out what happened to this data, to try to you know, I would personally think we would want to destroy any of those databases that have been created by this government. Certainly any databases that unlawfully utilized or is housing data of Americans that they should never have gotten access to. And then I think the other job that we're going to have on our hands is restoring trust in federal agencies and restoring the agencies themselves. You know, we have entire agencies like USAID that we were not able to save. We were able to save big chunks of the Department of Education, but even that has been significantly dismantled. We have federal workers who have been, you know, whose jobs have been eliminated or they were let go through these crazy fork in the road emails. I think you saw some of that in the jobs data that came out finally 2 months late, came out in October, that showed the effects of all those federal workers who took the fork in the road email that was written by Elon Musk. It was tens of thousands of you know, really important federal workers that felt like they had to take that email, take that retirement.
Speaking with Chris Mays, Arizona Attorney General, question coming in on the Buckmaster Facebook page about what this listener wants you to clarify, some that the listener believes may be contrarian opinions about SNAP and restrictions on sugary foods. Could you explain that, Chris Mays?
Yeah, that was, so we were asked, I was asked, I think yesterday we were, my team at the AG's office was volunteering at a community food bank here in Phoenix. It's a wonderful food bank who, by the way, they indicated to me that the number of people that they are seeing at requesting food has literally doubled this year over last year. So, you know, thank you very much Trump economy for devastating our residents. And that's literally what's going on. I think that's from the hit that we're taking from these illegal tariffs, the inflation that we're seeing, people losing their jobs. So our food banks are being overwhelmed. It was even worse when the Trump administration had announced that they were going to try to eliminate or were going to eliminate SNAP. We obviously defeated that effort. And by the way, it's called the Desert Mission Food Bank here in Phoenix. I was asked a question to answer your question, Bill.
Sure.
Whether I agreed with Republican attempts to limit SNAP benefits to non-sugary foods in non, I guess what you would consider junk food. You know, obviously we want to do everything we can to eat healthily, and it's a struggle for everyone, including me and my family and my kiddo. But I think to condition SNAP benefits right now at a time when people are already struggling and to stigmatize SNAP in that way, I think there's this effort to say the people who are utilizing SNAP are somehow just, you know, junk foodaholics is really, really kind of gross, and it's not where we ought to be focused. We ought to be focused on supporting SNAP, supporting these families, all families who are struggling right now, and supporting food banks who are laboring through a really difficult slumping economy right now, where they're seeing the number of people pull up to ask for food double, and in some cases triple. So I just think it's a red herring to be talking about limiting SNAP when really what we should be talking about is expanding access to these kinds of services that people literally desperately need to survive right now. It's also insane at a time when our utilities are trying to pass rate increases upon rate increases on their customers. Energy costs are going up, rent is going up, and those are things you guys know I'm passionate about trying to push back on. Come on, I don't think we should be talking about sugar in, you know, potato chips right now.
Chris Mays with us, Arizona Attorney General. She announced she will be seeking re-election. She had a very close, how many votes did you win by? Was it 12 votes or something crazy?
The closest. Well, no, I mean, a more order of magnitude more than that, Bill. It was 280. So yeah, but still the closest statewide race in Arizona history, and you know, I'm glad, but hey, a W is a W, right?
Yeah, so, of course.
So I am hoping to at least double that, maybe triple that number. Let's get it a little higher.
And of course, your Republican opponents are focusing on these lawsuits, saying that you're spending mm-hmm. far too much time on them. And how do you reply to those folks?
Well, I guess my question to them is just which one of these lawsuits that are saving $1.5 billion for the state of Arizona are you going to withdraw Arizona from, and how much of that money would you want us to lose? And are you in favor of these tariffs, Republican candidates for attorney general? Really? You want to tax the American people? You want to put a 17% tax on the American people? Basically a national sales tax and a tax that is destroying our small businesses and has already caused many, many small businesses to go out of business. If we end up litigating talking about this issue on the campaign trail, bring it on, my friends, because we're gonna win that debate.
All right, stick around, Chris Mays, for segment number two. Tim Steller's with me in studio. Tim, time to talk about our favorite bakery, Mona's Danish Bakery. What do you want on your Christmas table for dessert?
The classic.
Yeah, the Danish Kringle?
Yeah.
Go with the classic. Yeah. Of course, the Kringle can be a dessert. It can be your breakfast on Christmas Eve morning or Christmas Day or the day after, traditionally known as Boxing Day. Anyway, monasdanishbakery.com is the website, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Still taking orders for Christmas goodies. They've got wonderful boxes of Christmas cookies packaged up nicely. They're a great gift, of course, cookies. And if you'd like some special breads, they can do that also for Christmas. They are open 7 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday through Sunday. We'll be back with the Arizona Attorney General, Chris Mays, and Tim Steller right after this.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
A proposed $2.67 billion regional transportation plan will be funded by a half-cent sales tax if Pima County voters approve the plan and tax next March for another 20 years. The tax rate will not increase. Funding from the 2006 voter-approved plan is expected to bring a $3.67 billion economic impact to the greater Tucson region. The sales tax investment for RTA Next will lead to a similar economic impact and more than 48,000 additional jobs over the next 20-plus years. Learn more about RTA Next funding and proposed projects at RTANext.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. What do you got there? What's this, Brendan? Old Friends by Darren Korb?
Yeah, that's the name of the composer.
Oh, okay. Bring it up a little bit. Okay. Buckmaster with you on Friday, and we'll transition to Friday Onlys 2 weeks from today. Still have top quality guests like the Arizona Attorney General, who is on our live line right now. Live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll still be in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. And Tim Steller's here from the Arizona Daily Star. And my Christmas present this year is how loyal these sponsors have been for the Buckmaster Show. I'd say 80% are staying with me for the Friday show. So that's very gratifying.
Yep, it's a testament.
Well, thank you very much, Tim. All right, let's go back to the Arizona Attorney General, and here's Tim Steller.
Attorney General, so you filed suit against Temu, which always brings a smile to my face because there's so many jokes about, you know, you order something on Temu and you expect it to be like life size or whatever, and it ends up being a miniature version of whatever it was you thought you ordered.
Right.
But it sounds like that's actually part of the lawsuit that you all filed, the deceptive marketing. Can you tell us about that lawsuit and what it entails?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Tim. Yeah, we think this is a really important lawsuit. And, you know, it got a number of different facets to it. One is the violations we are alleging that they have violated the Arizona Consumer Fraud Act by consistently, you know, sending people something that they, you know, that did not match up with what they advertised, what they thought they were getting, something of poor quality. We also are alleging that they are selling knockoffs of, Arizona, iconic Arizona brands, including ASU, U of A, NAU logos and brands, Ping golf clubs, knockoffs. And then we also are alleging, and this is important, that basically Temu is a Chinese spy app because they are required, the Temu is required by Chinese law to hand over any data that the Chinese Communist Party wants. And they are basically, once you download that app is able to track your GPS location. It can track you wherever you go.
Oh, great.
It can track you Bill, the next time you go to the dentist, it may know where you are.
No, and thanks, so, God.
Or to the bakery that we just advertised, or
Timonis.
To the Italian restaurant. Most people I know don't want the Chinese government knowing exactly where they are, period, or anybody else without their permission. And then they can also access whatever Wi-Fi your phone gets attached to, and then they can get at your passwords and at your microphone. So this thing, and it can, the app software can actually mutate, they can mutate the actual app and the software after it is downloaded. So it can mutate, so that makes it really hard for forensic analysts to figure out what it is doing, actually. Mm-hmm. And so it's a way for it to hide what it is doing. So we actually joined a number of other states. Three other states at this point, three or four. Actually, most of them are Republican AGs. So I'm joined with a number of Republican AGs on this one. I suspect there'll be other AGs joining on this one. It's just a really bad app. And we're just want to warn people about, you know, not only what kind of products you might get from Temu, but also what you are downloading onto your phone.
Well, can you imagine giving your credit card information to that organization? Are you kidding me? No, thank you.
No, thank you. Exactly.
So as far as you know, does this, the damage that you're talking about occur pretty much exclusively through the app? Or is there, like, I believe you can order, you know, go on a website and order through Temu.com or whatever the website may be. The app is the one that really causes the damage because of the way it can get into your phone, right?
Yeah, Tim, I think in terms of probably the spyware aspect of it, the app is the most app is the most problematic from a spyware standpoint. The website still, you know, you're still going to be, you know, dealing with possibly deceptive advertising, likely deceptive advertising actually in many cases. And then of course they're still selling knockoffs on those websites. Mm-hmm. So on its website. So yeah, in terms of the spyware, that's probably most heightened in terms of the app that you would download onto your phone.
Tim Steller's column, Tim, got me thinking, Attorney General Mays, about the shoplifter situation. And, you know, we have a good Samaritan law. If somebody needs to assistance, you can render it, and that would free them from any kind of litigation. It's interesting about folks now, if they decide to intervene in a shoplifting case, and how dangerous that can be, as Tim articulated in his column this week. Some of your thoughts on that, please, Chris.
Yeah, and it can be dangerous, you know, and we see this also, you know, the way in terms of the way a lot of stores are starting to advise employees. I mean, you know, we do a lot of organized retail theft cases out of my office, along with law enforcement partners. And it can be very dangerous. And what a lot of shop owners and also big box stores are advising folks to do is just kind of allow it to happen, because it can end up being dangerous if you try to intervene physically. And so it's better oftentimes to sort of take down details of what you see, and then provide that to law enforcement, because you really want law enforcement to be the first responder, the first reactor. You can take photos of what's going on. There's nothing wrong with doing that. And then providing that to law enforcement on the back end. We just want people to be safe. And so it's just always better to allow, frankly, the folks with guns and the proper equipment and the training to defuse the situation to respond to it.
I think one of the issues is that people see, at least in Tucson, but I believe this is true in other parts of the state as well, that there is no police response to shoplifting cases in many incidents. And it kind of builds on the perception of no consequences for minor crime. But I wanted to mention that, but I wanted to also ask you, something I heard about in reporting this column is the idea that some of these stores, especially retail chains, they collect cases against people. That is, like, they watch, you know, a given shoplifter collect more and more items until it reaches a felony threshold, and then they present it to law enforcement. Is this something you've seen or heard of?
Yes, that is oftentimes what happens. So, and we've, for instance, worked with Walmart, and we've worked with other big box stores to take those cases and prosecute them, you know, after they've reached that threshold. A good example of that is a case that I did maybe 2 or 3 years ago involving a ring of individuals who were stealing baby formula from big box stores and then reselling it, transporting it, in some cases all the way to New York City and selling them in bodegas and small stores in New York City. And it was just an enormous amount of baby formula, which was driving up the cost of baby formula. And we had baby formula shortages as a result of it here in the Southwest. So, yes, that is how some of these cases get prosecuted. I would say, you know, I mean, honestly, it's an argument for additional resources for law enforcement. And I think if you talk to any, and I do talk to many police chiefs and sheriffs, they will tell you, especially police chiefs, that they are understaffed. And I'll tell you what's not making that any easier for them is the fact that ICE is now, spending $50,000 on bonuses and attracting people that would otherwise be hired by local law enforcement departments like Tucson PD or Phoenix PD or Prescott PD. So it's making it even harder. I'll tell you, it's even harder for my agency to hire, and salaries are not where they need to be. So, you know, I think it's frankly an argument for more resources for law enforcement to be able to address these crimes when they're happening.
Question coming in from a listener on Facebook. If TEP tells the Pima County Board of Supervisors that data centers won't raise rates, then they go to the ACC, to the Arizona Corporation Commission, and when they are asked about this claim, they say the 14% rate increase will be paid by everyone. Can they be sued for false advertisement or fraud is the question.
Well, that's an interesting question. I have to admit I hadn't thought about that one. What I will tell you is we have, as you guys know, I'm the first attorney general, I believe, ever to intervene in opposition to a utility rate increase, and that is the TEP rate increase. I'm also intervened against the APS rate increase here in Phoenix. And if anybody tells you that these data centers are not a part of the reason that these utilities are asking for these rate increases, then they are, they're smoking something. So they definitely are. And there's no doubt about that. And, you know, I think we have a huge problem on our hands and we are just on the front end of that problem. I would say the other thing that I am concerned about is the way that the utilities are going about signing the contracts that they're signing with these data centers. I would say watch this space. More to come from my office on that issue because there's a lot of secrecy around those contracts that are being signed. And then the results of those contracts find their way into the rate increase requests and the rate cases such that it's sort of a,
it's commingled. I mean, it's commingled. In many cases, it seems to be commingled.
For sure. And I think there ought to be transparency on the front end. I think there ought to be some, you know, contested hearings related to these contracts on the front end so that the public has the ability to weigh in on them. And I, as their attorney general, have the ability to weigh in on them before they get signed and essentially then sort of swept into a rate case. And so what we saw in that TEP, in that Project Blue City Council issue was sort of, it was a very public process. But my question is, where's the public process related to these deals that are being inked between the utilities and the data centers? And I think that's something that we're going to be raising in the near future. I just raised it with you. So there we go.
All right. Any final thoughts for the holidays, Chris Mays?
Well, I want everybody to have a great holiday, have a safe holiday. And please know that we're going to continue to do everything we can to protect them, work on groundwater supply issues, work on some of these utility rate case issues. We'll be working all the way through the holidays in some ways, but we want everybody to take some time off, enjoy yourselves, and have a blessed holiday.
Thank you very much, and we'll look forward to talking to you on our Friday roundtable and Friday Focus interview in 2026. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Bill and Tim. Good to talk to you guys.
Take care.
Thanks a lot. Chris Mays, the Arizona Attorney General. Coming up after the break, Tim Steller will be with me for segment number 3. Chat with Tim a bit. Be right back.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Real dreamy bump music here.
Yeah.
Brendan's really coming up with some out-of-this-world stuff for us on the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Tim Steller here, the award-winning columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Go ahead, Brendan.
Yeah, we also had a caller call in during the break with just a quick comment for you about the just something about the prosecuting, maybe some why there's some issues going on. But his name was Leonard, and he was saying that he's 85, and he got a subpoena the other day to go like show up for jury duty.
What?
And this is a problem he's had apparently before when he's 83, and like he has to go through this huge process of like getting a doctor to come, like tell them he can't do it, and he has no driver's license, he can't show up, and so he's just like, they're having problems just picking people to prosecute or like to show up for jury duty, like
no, it's my understanding over 70.
Yeah,
I think you are exempt. Well, some courts it's 75, maybe federal court. Tim, still, I'm not sure.
I don't remember the details.
But certainly at his age. he shouldn't be worrying about jury duty.
Exactly.
He would be exempt. Tim, sounds like kind of the headline to take away from this interview with the Attorney General, she's really watching closely these contracts signed by elected officials with these kind of go-between or these facilitators for the data centers.
Yeah, I mean, I think are you talking about the elected officials or the utilities?
Well,
I think it's the utilities that she was most concerned about.
But I thought she said there should be a public hearing.
Yes, yeah, correct. Right, a public hearing on the utility contracts.
Okay.
And so, I mean, I think the bottom line there is probably the idea of ensuring that the public is held harmless.
Right.
When these utilities, you know, see dollar signs and want to sign contracts with the data centers. Because, I mean, these are, as you mentioned, I think we were on break, you know, Project Blue is expected to consume, if it comes to fruition here in the Tucson area, about 10% of the power produced by Tucson Electric Power.
That's correct.
I mean, that's stunning. That's a stunning figure in and of itself. And it's hard for anyone to trust, despite the somewhat logical assurances of Tucson Electric Power, that it will not affect the greater body of customers.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly in Virginia, that's the highest concentration of data centers in the country. They have had serious impacts on their power rates, and people are of course fed up with it. So, I mean, I don't know what her legal standing will be in all of this, especially if it's a contract between a private company like APS or TEP and a private company like, in this case, Beale Infrastructure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she can make some noise, put some sand in the gears and try to ensure that that the customers are held harmless.
So you are working on a column for Sunday about the city of Tucson is looking for nickels and dimes under every cushion, right?
Yeah.
They're looking for wherever they can try to increase revenue, because right now they are projecting some financial issues to close out this fiscal year, correct?
For sure, yeah. Revenue is coming in much lower than projected, much lower than last year on sales tax and other taxes. So the spending, I mean, I'll tell you where I see it. I used to, every year for the last several years, I've swum all winter on a regular basis at city pools, because several of them are heated through the year, through the winter, that is. And this year they've cut back the hours so much that fewer pools open and such few hours that it's not even worth my effort to try to find my way to the pool, because they're just trying to save money here and there. Mm-hmm. And they told me that, you know, not that many people, relatively speaking, use the pools in the winter. Mm-hmm. So that's why they're doing that.
You'd have to use a wetsuit.
Yeah. Jump in a puddle.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's one example. But you know, so what they're doing, they've got a big shortfall that they're anticipating now. And, you know, they have made some cuts like that. That's a very small one in amount saved. But they're now, they've just passed Wednesday or Tuesday, several fee or tax increases. For example, the fee, a transaction fee on pawn shop transactions has gone from $1. It will now be $3 per transaction. The one that I'm focused on in my column Sunday is the increase in the bed tax for hotels. It goes from 6% to 9% city tax. Now, they're also cutting a per bed surcharge. It's not just that heavy an increase, but it leaves us as one of the highest taxes for hotel beds in the state. So, I mean, you know, they're making some cuts, but they're also increasing some fees and revenues. You and I just talked about the ad tax that they want to impose on advertising. That would be 2.6%. They suspended consideration of that. I think the issue is that because it's a new tax, or it would be a new tax, they have to go through a lot of steps to get approval, and they may not be able to get that. They're talking about making maybe $400,000 a year out of that. Mm-hmm. I'd be surprised if they actually end up doing that.
One thing, when you were writing about the shoplifters, a lot of people are so concerned of that. You go into any CVS or Walgreens, and it just seems like there's increasing numbers of products that are behind the plexiglass, and you have to ask, find somebody to get a key and open it. But it is dangerous, I guess, to intervene, as you pointed out in your column.
Yeah, and I think something that's worth noting is that the general public, get frustrated when we see crime being committed openly, especially things like brazen shoplifting, people just sweeping things off the shelves, that sort of thing. And that it's worth being frustrated about. However, we're maybe not seeing the whole picture in any given moment. There's the fact that what we just talked about with Chris Mays, that a given store may be tracking a person. And they may be collecting evidence on a person and ready to bring down the hammer when the theft reaches a certain threshold where it can be a felony. Mm-hmm. Or they may have made policy decisions. You know, maybe they decided this store shouldn't have a security guard, and it's really not your problem to become their unpaid security guard. Right. So, I mean, I think it's totally understandable to be frustrated and want to intervene. On the other hand, it's risky. I mean, the case I wrote about, a man intervened against a guy stealing cigarettes, and the man who was stealing the cigarettes ended up dead. Mm. This happened in November. There was some sort of altercation, and now the county attorney's office is considering criminal charges against the guy who intervened. Mm-hmm. So you just never know how these things are going to play out. So it's worth being frustrated, worth documenting these things, but you got to be careful physically stepping in.
All right, just about out of time. Tim, we will be looking forward to working with you in the new year, okay?
Yep, I will be looking forward to it myself.
Thank you very much for all you've done for this program over the years, and you've actually, sat in and hosted the program, and we may call upon you again some other time, some Friday, to do that if I'm traveling or whatever.
My pleasure.
All right, hope you and your family have a terrific holiday, Tim Steller. Okay, coming up, Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive. Be right back.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities, The News and Suns media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Attend an upcoming question and answer session hosted by the Regional Transportation Authority to learn more about the proposed $2.67 billion regional transportation plan voters will consider next March. The proposed improvements, if approved, will reduce congestion and support cleaner air, enhance network reliability, safety, and efficiency. A half-cent tax to fund RTA Next, if approved, will replace the current tax, resulting in no change in the current tax rate. The Q&A sessions, which are being held across the region, include in-person and virtual events. Learn more or sign up at RTANext.com.
All righty, Brendan, coming up with some really good stuff. That kind of has a Hawaiian feel to it. Something called Sandbox, huh?
Oh, nice.
All right, time for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's always a good time to visit the Land of Enchantment. After all, it's an enchanting place. I was over there the week of Thanksgiving and had a terrific time in New Mexico. A ton of stuff to do. Start your planning by visiting Southwest New Mexico. .org. Ken Carr is with us, Midday Guy from 101.7 The Drive, and appropriately enough, he is risen to the occasion of ugly worldwide ugly sweater day, and he has it's too bad it's not TV or that we're maybe live streaming, because you've got a crazy looking sweater on. Well, it's got Ken Carr pictures all over it.
Well, Bill, the internet is a wondrous place. So I know sometimes people don't like it because, you know, it has some negative parts, but there's a lot of positive, including being able to order a ugly sweater that has my face printed on it all over the place. So that's the part that makes it ugly, by the way, but it's very festive otherwise.
And it came from Shanghai very quickly. So
they did a good job over there.
What's going on today this weekend?
We're going to start out with the Tucson Holiday Ice still continues. That's through January 4th. And even though we're going to be around 80 degrees this weekend, you can still go ice skating. It's the most amazing thing ever.
Yeah.
So they set up the...
Does the ice not melt? But I guess I shouldn't ask that.
They've got a big contraption that keeps it cold.
Okay.
Contraption being the technical word for it. TCC, they have the outdoor ice skating rink set up in front. And it's real ice. Tickets purchased online. Socks required. Gloves highly recommended. Maybe a sense of balance would be nice as well. Mm-hmm. Zoo lights at the Reed Park Zoo. They do this each year, and it's absolutely fantastic. Now, one of the things that's kind of the first time I went, I thought for some reason that there would be more animals out, but they like to sleep at night.
Of course,
not all of them. There are some. But really, it's just the holiday displays are fantastic. There's animal sculptures, falling snow. I don't know how they do that when it's 80 degrees outside. Music entertainment, a giant gingerbread house, light tunnels. It's a lot of fun.
And the animals sleep through all the merriment. So yeah. Maybe they have giant earplugs for the...
It's probably the holiday music that soothes them.
Yeah, there you go.
Lights Up, a festival of illumination that's happening at the Tucson Botanical Gardens on Alvernon. And another light display that's fantastic. Thousands of LED lights illuminating trees and custom-built oversized structures. There's a light tunnel and lights on the trees and luminaria display. And then, of course, more lights if you'd like to do some walking. Winter Haven Festival of Lights. Winter Haven continues through this Saturday. And it's 6 to 10 each evening. That's that wonderful neighborhood that's bordered by Fort Lowell, Prince, Tucson Boulevard, and Country Club. They've been doing it for 76 years.
Pretty much every homeowner gets in the mood, too.
And it really is fantastic what they do for the city and all of us to enjoy the holiday season. And they collect food and also raise money for the community food bank. Their goal this year is $60,000 for the food bank. Mm. And the food bank is fantastic at making that kind of money go a long way. Nutcracker. Now, that is happening this weekend, today through Sunday, at the Linda Ronstadt Music Hall, put on by Ballet Tucson, along with the Tucson Symphony Orchestra. And they've got sensational dancing, music, sets, costumes. Even the Rat King is there. And one other quickie, Holiday Express at the historic train depot. That is tomorrow from 10 to 2 on Toole Avenue. You can write letters to the North Pole with the help of elves from the Tucson Postal History Museum and even listen to a reading of Polar Express. There's holiday music and of course, the steam engine to climb on, all that fun stuff.
Very cool. So have
lots
great,
of holiday goodies
this
weekend.
Have a great Christmas, Ken. Thank you very much.
You too.
The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, wholly responsible for the content of the program. Hope everybody has a great day and weekend.